Greetings, friends, and hello again to another program of Search the Scriptures. And as you know, on Search the Scriptures, we always only go by the Bible. The Bible is our full authority. And many times we talk about Revelation 12 in verse 9. Satan has deceived the whole world. And sure, he has. Satan has deceived the whole world. Many of the things that we cherished, or we thought we cherished, in what we call, I guess you could say, traditional Christianity, we've learned through this program that they are nothing but lies. Even going back to the very simplicity of who is the one we serve. We had several programs on the name of the Creator being Yahweh, and yet virtually no church in the world today recognizes the name of our Heavenly Father Yahweh and His Son, the Hebrew Savior of the world named Yeshua. Again, we always mention, for those who may be hearing this the first time, this radio broadcast is coming out directly from Israel. I am giving this broadcast in Israel, and we know from Micah 4 and Isaiah 2, the law will go forth from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. We are the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem, based out of Israel. We keep the holy days and the feasts in the holy city of Jerusalem, and we invite you to sometime come there with us. Come there and see the wonderful land of the Bible, and I'm telling you, your eyes will be opened like never before. Well, today I want to go into a subject that is very, very interesting, and it is the subject of Babylon the Great. Who is Babylon? There's so much confusion in the world today and so many misconceptions, especially when it comes to prophecy. And although it's troubling as it is, it's one of the signs that we're close to the end. Because what does it say in the end time? The Olivet Prophecy, Matthew 24, the disciples said to Yeshua, our Savior, Master, tell us, what is the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And the very first thing he said was, many false prophets will come, you know, in his name, saying he is the Messiah and will deceive the many. And we see that today in so much. But, you know, if you really look at the Bible as a book, almost like a family album, everything dealing with the Bible is dealing with the nation of Israel and other nations only as they relate to the nation of Israel. What we find is that the actual city or nation of Babylon is mentioned in the Bible more than any other city except Jerusalem itself. So Babylon has to be pretty important, because beside Jerusalem, like I said, there's more scriptures about Babylon, and specifically end time Babylon, than anything else. Now, this is going to take a couple of radio programs, since our program is only a half an hour long. We'll have to go into several programs on Babylon. If for some reason you're missed one of the other programs, or you know, you're in the car today and you're not going to get our program tomorrow, you can always go online to our website. It's www.coyhwh.com, and all our radio programs, as well as all many of my sermons, well over 100 of them, are online for free. We don't charge. Freely you receive, freely you give. If people want to send a free will offering, that is fine, and our ministry can continue, and our radio broadcasts and the good news message of our Savior can go to the world. But we do not charge for anything. Our Father's way is to freely give, and that's exactly what we do according to His word. So, again, let's get into this subject right now of end time Babylon. Now, again, if you look at many of the Protestant denominations and even going into some Sabbath organizations, including the Seventh-day Adventists and some of these other churches, many people today will tell you that end time Babylon is the Catholic Church. So the first thing I want to say is, will this hold up to Scripture? Because like we said, Scripture is going to be our guide always in everything we study. It's got to be proved by Scripture. You know, don't believe a man, believe the man as he follows the Scripture. It's the Scripture that matters. So, the first thing I want to prove to you is that it is impossible that Babylon can be the Catholic Church, or any church for that matter, because Babylon is a land. It's very interesting. So, if you're listening in your car, you're not going to be able to do this. You'll just have to listen and maybe look up these scriptures later if you remember them. But if you're in your home and you're listening to this now, I would ask you to get your Bible out and let's open it up and see exactly what it talks about with end time Babylon. Many of the scriptures I'll go over in this program and also next week, we'll be dealing with Jeremiah 50 and Jeremiah 51 that specifically only speak about Babylon. Now, let me say this before we start, because sometimes people will say, well, Jeremiah, that's the old covenant, you know, the Old Testament. That's not talking about end time Babylon. That's talking about ancient Babylon. Well, as you can see, if you just read, and after this short half-hour program is over, why don't you just take your Bible out and read the whole chapters of Jeremiah 50 and 51. And the first thing you're going to find out is that Jeremiah 50 and 51 cannot be talking about ancient Babylon for one very simple reason. Jeremiah 50 and 51 talk about a great destruction on Babylon, a complete destruction on Babylon, and not one person being left. Now, if you go into your history books and you read about how ancient Babylon was destroyed, you'll find out that Cyrus, the king, came into Babylon. What he did was he diverted the great river that came through underneath the great walls of Babylon. He diverted in another direction. His soldiers came underneath the wall. They opened up the two great leaf doors. And this was actually prophesied to happen 250 years before it did. Write down Isaiah 45. I'm not going to go there today. But exactly why, you know what? Let's go there very quickly. Let's just go. My Bible is right here. And I'll open it up and just show you that this was prophesied, that this was the way Babylon would be destroyed and exactly the way it was. And here he is. It says, so says Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, who was exactly the king in 539 BC who destroyed Babylon, whom I have seized by his right hand to subdue nations before him. Yea, I will open the loin of kings to open the two leaved doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut. And then it goes on there to talk about a little more how he will destroy Babylon and take it. But this happened in one night. It happened in exactly one night. There was no great destruction of Babylon. There was no mass killing. People went on to live there. And a matter of fact, this happened in 539 BC, which would be 536 years before our Savior Yeshua Messiah was born. And actually, when he was born 536 years later, there were more Jewish people living in Babylon when our Messiah was born than were living actually in the land of Israel. So there's no mass destruction that you're going to see in Jeremiah 50 and 51. Nothing that happened in Jeremiah 50 and 51 can be proved historically. It is clearly end time. And as we get into this today and as we get into it in the next program, and possibly even a third program, we'll see how long it takes, I will prove to you conclusively that this must be end time. One scripture is Jeremiah 50 and verse 4. Jeremiah 50 and verse 4. In these days and at that time, it starts the phrase, in these days and at that time, what does that mean? Wherever you see the phrase in your Bible, in these days and at that time, it is a Jewish idiom talking about the messianic age of the Messiah either being there or returning right at that time. It is an end time phrase. So wherever you see that phrase in your Bible, it has to be talking about the end times. In these days and at that time, the sons of Israel shall come, declares Yahweh. They and the sons of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek Yahweh their Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces pointing there, saying, come and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in an everlasting covenant, never to be forgotten. This has not happened yet. Have the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel come together, weeping and crying back to Zion? It has started the beginning. Israel is a nation again. And in our last program, we were talking about that. Again, if you didn't hear it, you can go online and listen to it. About the importance of Israel being a nation again. They had to be a nation for prophecy to be fulfilled and the Messiah to return. Because he wasn't going to return to a nation that wasn't here. Very, very simply. Zechariah 14 talks about the Messiah's return to the Mount of Olives. So clearly, this is end time. So as I go in these scriptures and I show you all the characteristics, there's more than 100 characteristics of who Babylon is, you will actually see that there's only one nation on the face of the earth today who could be end time Babylon. And Babylon is a nation. So let's go into, continue here in Jeremiah 50 and 51. And let me show you many scriptures showing Babylon is not a church. Babylon is a nation. Jeremiah 50 in verse 8. Flee from the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he goes before the flock. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans. It is a land. Jeremiah 50 and verse 21. Go up against the land of Merenatham, which literally means double bitterness. Against it and against the dwellers of Pekod. Waste and destroy after them, says Yahweh, and do according to all I have commanded you. Again, go up against the land. It definitely is a land. If you drop down to verse 38 of Jeremiah 50, same chapter, 38, I'll read 38, 39, and 40. Jeremiah 50 and verse 38. A drought is on her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of idols, and they boast themselves in idols. It is the land of idols. So the beasts of the desert dwell there with jackals, and the daughters of the ostrich shall dwell in her again. And it shall not again have anyone in it forever. It shall not be lived in from generation to generation. So it is a land the people are living in. Verse 40, as Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says Yahweh, so no man shall live there, nor shall a son of man stay in it. Clearly, Babylon is a land. Jeremiah 51 and verse 2. I will send foreigners to Babylon who will sift her and shall empty her land. Definitely, it is a land. Verse 29 of Jeremiah 51. Verse 29. And the land trembles in writhes and pain, for every purpose of Yahweh shall be done against Babylon to make the land of Babylon a waste without one living in it. Is Babylon a land? You better believe it. Absolutely. There's at least 12, 14 scriptures that clearly show Babylon is not a church. Babylon is a land. And like I said, today and the next week, possibly even a third program we'll go into, we will show clearly, 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 clearly through the characteristics, there's only one land, one nation on earth today who end time Babylon could be. Let's go to the New Testament. Because just in case somebody still is not convinced, even though we just proved that Jeremiah 50 and 51 are not historic, they have not happened yet, but they are a future prophecy. Let's go to Revelation 18. I don't think anybody can doubt that Revelation 18 is about end time mystery Babylon, as Revelation 17 says it. And we're going to get into right after proving this point why it's called mystery Babylon. Revelation 18 and verse 2. And he cried in a strong great voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen. It is fallen. And it has become a dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and a home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean bird, and the home of every unclean and hateful beast. Babylon the great has fallen, and it's become a dwelling place of those possessed. And the home, a dwelling place and a home. It is a place. It is not a church. It is a place. It is a land. Verse 4 of Revelation 18. And I heard another voice of heaven saying, leave the land of her, my people, that you may not share in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. Now again, if you're reading a King James Bible, it may read a little different. But the King James Bible, sorry to say, is not the perfect Bible that many people make it out to be. When it was made back in the 16th century, I'm sure they did the best they could. But today, when you look in your lexicons and your concordance and your interlinear Bibles and you look up these words in the original language, you will see that Revelation 18:4 doesn't say, come out of her, my people. But literally, it means to leave the land of her. Leave the land of her. So Babylon is a land, no doubt about it. Now, let me just go into one scripture here. Why people say Babylon is the Catholic Church. This is something that started actually at the Protestant Reformation, believe it or not, that people thought that Babylon was the Catholic Church. Because, again, when the Protestant Reformation happened and the Protestants were coming out of Catholicism and the Catholic Church was persecuting the Protestants and other people, boy, maybe it fit back then, 500 years ago, but it certainly doesn't fit today. And it could have been a parallel they made. But again, if Babylon is about the end time Babylon, then it couldn't have been from the Protestant Reformation, which happened back in 1542 with Martin Luther. So Revelation 17, just one chapter before this, look what it says. 17 and verse 9. Here is the mind having wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains where the woman sits on them. And the kings are seven. Five fell, one is, and the other is yet to come, and when he comes, he must remain a little. Here's the mind having wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains where the woman sits. Now, some Bibles will say seven hills instead of seven mountains. It is an incorrect translation. If you look it up in a Greek concordance, which anybody can get for, you know, $12, $15, you can go to Amazon.com if you don't have one. But if you look these words up, what you'll find out is that there are two words that are there. One is for mountain, one is for hill. One is called banyos, you know, and one is called oros. Oros means mountains, and banyos means hills. Now, people will look at this and say, see, here is the mind having wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills, and Rome is on seven hills. It's got to be Rome. But like we said, the word for hill is banyos. The word for mountain is oros. And the word that is used here is oros. The woman is sitting on seven mountains, not hills. Now, what's really interesting is the word that's actually used for hills, banyos, that word was made for the seven hills of Rome. So if the Holy Spirit is inspiring this scripture, and if, you know, it's supposed to be about Rome, clearly they would have used the word banyos and not the word oros. But it's not the word banyos. The woman is not sitting on seven hills like Rome. The woman is sitting on seven mountains, seven large landmass. And what this is saying is that Babylon is a world empire. Babylon is controlling all seven continents. That Babylon is a world system that is brought by this nation of Babylon. The nation of Babylon has brought a world system of Babylon. It's a world system of trading. It's a world system of democracy. We find in the book of Isaiah, it talks about that Babylon is a trading nation from her youth. Very few nations are like that. Who is a trading nation? Today, who is the greatest trading nation on the earth? Maybe I'm starting to give it away already, but I'd rather just go into the scriptures, let you look at it yourself, and you make the decision. Let's stay in Revelation 17 a minute, because like we talked about, Babylon the Great. Let's go down to Revelation 17 and verse 5. And on her forehead was a name having been written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. A name was written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great. And that word in the Greek literally is Mystery Babylon the Megala, the superpower. Mystery Babylon the superpower. So the first thing we see here is, second thing actually, Babylon is a nation. It's not a church. It's not simply a system. But we read it's a land. It's a landmass. We see it has an army, as we're going to see. It has a president. It has a full-functioning system. And Babylon is this great, massive superpower. So again, we could kind of narrow it down from there, because how many superpowers are in the world today? How many massive superpowers are in the world today? And not just a superpower. Babylon is the superpower of superpowers. Go back to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and chapter 50. Let's look at another scripture as we're looking at Babylon as a superpower. Jeremiah 50 and verse 23. It says, how the hammer of all the earth is cut off and broken. How Babylon has become a ruin among the nations. And that word hammer of the earth, it's a Jewish idiom. It literally means the superpower, one who pounds. He goes into nations and pounds and pounds and pounds. So how is the hammer of the earth, how is the superpower of all the earth cut off and broken? How has Babylon become a ruin among the nations? So here's a very big characteristic now that we see. If Babylon is a nation and Babylon is a superpower, who is the world's superpower today? Who is the world's number one military might? Who is the world's only country today that's going into other countries and just smashing them is China doing that. China's a superpower. But does China go into other countries? Who was the last country that China went into and smashed and took over? How about Russia? Russia's a superpower, right? At least they used to be. I don't know if you'd still consider them one today, but they're a little bit. Does Russia go into other nations and just pound and pound and pound? I don't think so. But there is one superpower, the United States of America. The end time Babylon. Cat's out of the bag. But you will see here 100 characteristics that only fit the nation of America. We're not going to have enough time today to go over all of them, but we will the next program. And like I said, if we need to, we'll do a third program. But America is the only country in the last 15, 20 years, actually since World War II, but specifically in the last 15, 20 years when you look at Bosnia, Kosovo, Afghanistan, Iraq, and so on and so on and so on. Grenada, that has gone into these countries and have pounded and pounded and pounded. Shock and awe, remember that? You know, that the superpower going in and doing this. So again, Babylon, the great superpower. Babylon, the great superpower. Let's go to the book of Habakkuk, and let's see about the great might, the great military might of Babylon. Habakkuk, the prophet, gives us really a good looking at Babylon, what Babylon does, and who Babylon is, and we see it in the book of Habakkuk. Let's start in Habakkuk 1 and verse 6. Habakkuk 1 and verse 6. It says, "For behold, I will raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, like we just said, the bitter and impetuous nation, which is going into the broad spaces of the land to possess dwellings not their own." Isn't that exactly the way America became a nation? Didn't America come over to the new land with Christopher Columbus in 1492 and then with the Pilgrims in 1620? And didn't, you know, the expeditions that went across the Great Divide and all the way out to California, didn't America exactly do this? Go into the broad spaces of the land to possess dwellings not their own, killing the Indians and taking them over. And it's very interesting to note today, when we're done with Babylon, we're going to start talking about the peace process in Israel. There's some amazing things I'm going to show you from Scripture that, do you know, it actually says in Scripture about the peace deal that's coming with Hamas and with Kadima, the ruling party that used to be in Israel, that's still a major party here, party block. And the Bible actually prophesies of these things. And America, Babylon, it talks about America, Babylon, being the catalyst to force Israel into this peace deal in the end and divide their land. But, you know, when you see all these different presidents from President Clinton and Bush and now Barack Obama and the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton all pushing Israel to give their land up, you never hear anyone pushing America to give the land back to the Indians that they stole. Wasn't that long ago, you know? You're talking about the 1800s. You know, just 150 years ago, maybe, that the Indians were being pushed off their land and taken, and America took their land. So should America give the land back to the Indians if they're telling Israel to give land back to the Palestinians, which the Palestinians never actually possessed? But we'll get into that in the other program. So let's continue on here in verse 7. "He is terrible and fearful. His judgment and his glory goes forth from himself." So he's a great military might. "His horses are swifter than leopards and are fiercer than the evening wolves. And their horsemen spread themselves. Yea, their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle hurrying to eat." Isn't it kind of interesting that the very symbol of America is the symbol of the eagle? And like he says, "Their horsemen spread themselves from afar, the eagle carrying." In verse 10, "He shall scoff against kings, and officials shall be a scorn to him. He shall scorn every fortress, and he shall heap up dirt and capture it." He shall scoff against the kings, and officials shall be a scorn to him. Do you remember when we went into Iraq? All the world, the Security Council, everybody told America, "You're not going to do this." And George Bush actually laughed. He laughed at the Security Council and told them they were pathetic, they were useless. And America was going to go in and do what they had to do. Is there any nation on earth? Is Europe telling America what to do? Is Russia telling America what to do? Is the pathetic United Nations that's simply a shell for the New World Order? Are they telling America what to do? No. America, Babylon, is riding the beast right now. Because Babylon rides the beast, this one world government system. But as we'll see in another program, the beast hates the whore. The beast hates America. And even though America set up world democracy, even though America set up all over the world stock markets in this world trading system, this world system, this one world government, is going to throw America off. And during the tribulation days that are coming, America will not be the leader of this system. But clearly here, who else can it be? Who else? What other country scoffs at kings and officials or scorn to him? Sure, you could say Saddam Hussein did this, but where is Saddam Hussein today? Laying in a grave after being hung. No country in the earth can get away with this, except Babylon, the superpower. Right? That's the way it is. Talks about in Jeremiah 50 that the mighty men of Babylon stay in their fortress and have decided not to fight. The mighty men of Babylon, their mighty, unbelievable army that they have. The army that goes all throughout the world and is just, like I said, it says here, the world superpower. So without a doubt, a major characteristic is that the greatest army in the world is Babylon. But there's another characteristic of Babylon that's even more mightier. And I will touch on it here before we end this program. It's in Revelation 18. That Babylon today, look at Revelation 18 and verse 3. Because of the wine of the anger of her fornication, Revelation 18, 3, which all the nations have drunk, even the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her trade. The merchants of the earth became rich from the power of trade. Come on, be honest with yourself. I know when I teach this and I talk to people all over the world, like I said, I'm giving this broadcast here from the nation of Israel, and I've been blessed by our Heavenly Father to go all over the world and teach His Word. But nobody doubts when you look at these scriptures who it can be. Who has made the merchants of all the earth rich from the power of trade? What country on earth is one-third of the world economy? Only America, Babylon. Well, my friends, I'm sorry we're out of time. We will pick up here in the next program. But again, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They will prosper, all they who love her. And again, we are the Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. We do have a U.S. address, P.O. Box 832, Carteret, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, New Jersey, 07008. But our ministry is based out of Israel, and particularly Jerusalem, Israel, where we keep the three feasts of Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot. We invite you to come and be there with us. So until next time, friends, Yahweh bless you, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.